Mornings on SEN.
Channel 7's Mitch Cleary continues to dominate the trade period. It's a good morning to you. If you're just tuning in to us, there's plenty of news getting around the place and you can have your say. Sam Edmund in the chair after 10:30. But Mitch, welcome into you.
Good morning, Kane.
Three-way trades, we love this. Three club trades, I should say. Is there any progress to the Port Adelaide, West Coast, North Melbourne situation, which was speculated last night?
I don't think there is. The hard part about this, Kane, is that Western Standard Time means the Eagles are 3 hours behind. So things don't happen this early in the morning just yet. But I think there would need to be a lot of water going under the bridge for this to progress any further. It was just one scenario floated, but we know North Melbourne has asked for Zach Butters and they'll probably look at a few other power players. But if they can't get players, they may need to get a third party in to break the deadlock with Port Adelaide. So it is one to watch, and whether the Roos can try and engage another club like West Coast was raised yesterday.
Has Horn Francis, in your opinion, this is clearly an opinion question, has his value increased, stayed the same, or decreased in the 12 months since he was drafted number one under 12 months ago?
It certainly hasn't increased, I would say. Obviously, he was a star junior, dominated Sandford senior level as a 17-year-old, but it's hard to say that it has increased. Whether you'd say it's decreased is another question. He probably hasn't been given, and I think North Melbourne deep down would agree that they haven't given him the best opportunity in terms of on-field success to flourish and play his best footy. Started at half forward and was, you know, a tough role in the worst team in the competition. Played midfield when they didn't have Cunnington and these sort of guys around him. So I think it's probably about the same, if anything, a little bit less than maybe what North Melbourne knocked back from Adelaide and Richmond before he was drafted. But I don't think there's too much shine going off Horn Francis. He's only 12 months into the system, and clubs see a lot of upside in what he produced in 2022.
Isaac Rankin, value increased, stayed the same, or decreased?
Well, probably decreased. As brutal as that sounds, he just hasn't had that consistent form. I like his second half of the year. He found a bit more consistency. But, yeah, what is he, 3 years in now to an AFL career? It's hard to say that he's got better than the pick three value. It'd be a good result for the Suns if they were to get a pick five as out of Isaac Rankin. My query, and thinking about this a bit more over the last few days, Kane, Isaac Rankin, the Suns were desperate to keep him, and their salary cap has progressed so far now that they're offloading players for top 10 picks. What if Isaac Rankin had chosen to stay? This list and this cap would have in further dire straits. So this is just a bit of a sliding doors moment, and they're going to get pick five for him. They will take that to the draft, offload pick seven. I think Isaac Rankin's value, to your original question, has probably decreased.
Yeah, you're right on that. They had no hope of keeping him. When the figures started coming from Essendon at Adelaide at about 800,000, no way Gold Coast could have matched that. So it was probably always obvious that he was leaving. Now, you broke the story this morning or last night about the barometer, Reece Matheson exploring a trade. Now, Danny Daly from Brisbane did confirm that to be the case this morning, but where does he fit in the barometer? Is it more of a team like North Melbourne for the bash and crash and, I guess, supporting those younger bodies in and around the midfield and half-forward line, do you think?
I think in an ideal world, if he was to move, it would be a Victorian club. He's obviously a Victorian kid. I think his family has moved up to Queensland, or part of his family has spent time in Queensland during his stint at the Lions. But he's looking for a new opportunity. He's well aware that it was tough going this year to get a game, and now he has to sit back and read all the press about Dunkley coming in, and then Will Ashcroft, we expect to do something similar to what Nick Dacos has done in his first year. So Matheson goes from the fringe to two further spots down the pecking order. It will be tough to watch for him. He's got a year to run on a contract he signed 2 years ago on a two-year deal, and he's looking to get out. There's been no links and no strong interest from Essendon, but I just wouldn't be surprised if they were to sort of look at something like this when it was put to me at the start of the week that the Bombers were obviously chips in on Jack Bowes. They love him as a player. They were flat to miss out on Jack Bowes, and they were keen on James Harms. And it was put to me that if they missed Bowes, they'd sort of ramp up the Harms chase. And now Melbourne's putting its foot down, saying Harms got 2 years to run. He's not leaving Melbourne. Whether they could look for that bit of that grunt, you know, bash and crash, as you put it, in a Reece Matheson. Again, haven't heard any links and any interest from Essendon, but it's a fit that wouldn't I think would probably suit a club like Essendon with a new coach like Brad Scott.
Still on Brisbane, you know, if Taranto left for 12 and 19, I would think Dunkley is about the same value. That's how I sort of view his value in this period. Now, Brisbane have traded out of the first round and their first pick is 21. I know they got some picks later on, 25 and 33 and 34, I think it is. But how do they go about this getting this deal done?
Yeah, it is fascinating. Brisbane's been busy on the trade front. As part of that deal with Tom Berry to get from Brisbane to Gold Coast yesterday, the Lions actually brought in a couple of extra picks. So I think they're going to continue to be active. I don't think this is going to hurt the Dunkley thing too much. What I would expect is they'll continue to try and edge up the order. So even though they've moved back from 15 to 21, they'll use those picks and try and continue to move up, especially once the Gunston deal sort of goes through. So I think maybe one of those picks they got back for Berry can be used in the trade for Jack Gunston. I think there's a pick in the late 30s or 40s that might sort of work for Gunston. And then they'll get to work on moving back up for Dunkley. So I don't think this is over by any stretch. I agree with you in terms of the Taranto value, 12 and 19. You could argue that Dunkley's output in the last 2 years has been superior to that of Tim Taranto, who's battled a back injury for parts of especially the last 12 months. But I think the Lions are still pretty confident of getting this one done, and they'll, you know, continue to try and manoeuvre their way through the draft board.
Mitch, just sit tight. We're going to get to the 9:30 news headlines. On the other side of that, you've become clickbait fodder for the newspapers, the biggest newspaper in Melbourne. I'm going to put you under the pump with your response to that. We'll get to that after the news headlines.
Sport's biggest moments called play-by-play from around the world, right here on SEN.
Making SEN news this hour. Renters are paying more than ever, with a new report showing a jump of 4.3% in rental costs in the September quarter. To Melbourne now, a crash involving a police vehicle is causing major delays inbound on the Eastern Freeway. Police were responding to a single vehicle crash prior to Hoddle Street about 5 a.m. when another vehicle hit the police before fleeing the scene. And a Victorian man has been seriously injured in an explosion in a dive shop in Geelong yesterday. SEN Sports next, a win in the T20.
For sport on tap this spring, download the new Tab app. Gamble responsibly. Download the new Tab app. Gamble responsibly.
The Aussie cricketers have beaten the West Indies by 3 wickets in their T20 on the Gold Coast. Set a target of 145, Australia got there with a ball to spare. Aaron Finch hitting 58 off 53. And Ayla Tomjanovic was firing against world number one, Iga Swiatek, at the Ostrava Open, but had to pull out with a knee injury. Weather's next.
Experience the ultimate mates day out with racing, food, drinks and one legendary party in the Ladbrokes Mates Mode Carnival Zone.
SEN Track. You can now find it at 1593 AM.
Ampol is powering our way of life. Ampol Australia's own.
Showers increasing across Melbourne today, 21. Partly cloudy, possible showers, 19 tomorrow, and partly cloudy on Saturday, 16. And SEN's your home of this year's AFL trade period. Listen live all day for the latest news as it happens right here on SEN 1116 AM.
All right, page 74 of the Herald Sun with the headline, Burning Desire to be Top Dog in Channel 7 Trade Duel. And Scott Gullen's written the piece on Media Street, which we love and is well read. You know you've made it when a fake Twitter account is created in your honour. Channel 7's news hound Mitch Cleary has been the latest to have a burner account pop up with his name on it, Mitch. What's going on?
I actually had two AFL list managers text me, Kane, it's legitimate that Peter Wright had requested a trade out of Essendon the night he won the Best and Fairest. So it did catch a few people out. I'm surprised it made the paper. Usually it's an online edition. So Scotty Gullen's obviously pulled a few strings and got it actually into the print edition. It's going.
You've made it. How, the relationship with Tom Brown, we're fascinated by it. Going well?
We're going very well. We speak multiple times a day on the phone. Haven't spoken this morning yet, but I'm sure we'll chat in the next few hours. And our trade show on the 7 News digital platforms is going gangbusters, Kane. I know you're a big viewer and fan of the program. So, no, it is funny that there is a competitive tension, and that will always exist among journos. Some of my good mates are journos at other outlets, and there is always that competitive tension because that's what you do it for. But no, we get along very well, and our desks are about 2.5 metres apart, so I don't think we can get much closer at the office.
All right, we'll take you at your word for that, but we do love the byplay and the story behind it. Just on Tom Brown, I mean, he floated Toby Green's name yesterday, and I think that's unlikely to happen, as even he said. But the Giants, is there more to play there? Nick Haynes and his contract, and a lot of our audience are interested in that. But the one I'm fascinated by is Lachie Whitfield. I think he'd be a great acquisition for clubs in that premiership window because of the talents that he's got. But does 5 years scare other clubs, and are the Giants open to trading him out, do you think?
I think deep down the Giants would be open to trading Lachie Whitfield. But as you say, it's just a matter of finding a suitor. Things can emerge in the last week of trade period. Clubs get desperate. You look at St Kilda. They started and walked into day one of trade period on Monday saying we're here for more A-grade talent. We've got good players, but we need better players. And right now, all they've brought in is Zane Cordy, and they've missed on Jordan Ngoi. They obviously had $850,000, $900,000 sitting there in their salary cap waiting for Ngoi. He hasn't taken that. Could a club like St Kilda get involved for Whitfield? He's got links there. Gabby Allen spent time with Lachie Whitfield at the Giants. We know what those two have been through together. So I wouldn't be surprised if a club came late for Lachie Whitfield. I don't think it's happened yet, but I think the Giants would be open to those conversations if it was to emerge.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Don't mind Whitfield at the Saints. Right, Mitch, what are you working on for tonight? Something big for us?
Well, I heard a caller earlier talking about Taran Thomas, Kane, and maybe a move across town in Melbourne. I've spoken to Taran for the news tonight, so we'll get his in his words. What he has to say
exclusive
about his future at Melbourne. You can put that term on it. We'll have to see how he presents on 7 News tonight.
Just got a question here off the Timber text 0433981116. Your typical day. I mean, the journalists have become, you know, they've built their profile of this period, which we love. So it's almost a story within a story. But can you give an insight into what your day looks like? I mean, obvious questions for me is, you know, how many phone calls you would make, where you look to spend your day. Do you have multiple phones? Do you carry a portable battery charger with you? Because we know the iPhone battery doesn't last that long. Give us an insight, Mitch, into how you spend your day during trade period.
The most important thing of your day is actually getting home and remembering to charge your portable battery when you get home, because you've burnt it and you need to take it. If you forget the next morning when you haven't charged it overnight, it's an absolute disaster. It's funny, Kane, how much this has changed. So working from afl.com.au now to working on Channel 7, in terms of the vision, it's a lot different. You know, trade radio and having worked a lot on that or writing for afl.com.au, you can make a stack of calls and report news and little tidbits of trade information. But TV, you need vision and interviews and talking heads to go with that. So it is a different dynamic. Trying to track down where people are meeting for coffees is a different world. But yeah, there's plenty of phone calls and, you know, bothering list managers, recruiters, player agents over the day. It's just a matter of how many want to take your call before 6:45 each night.
North fans, stick around. You'll see that vision tonight on Channel 7 with Taran Thomas at North Melbourne. Hey, mate, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Kane.
Mitch Cleary, one of the better journalists that we have covering the game, and he'll continue to drop bombs throughout this trade period.